We're going to start our study this morning out of the book of 1 John, and we're going to be in 1 John 1, 1 through 4 that was read, and I titled the lesson, The Life Manifested. I had never really realized it until this time. From the times I've taught through 1 John, I've preached through 1 John in times past, the significance of the first four verses of this little letter that he writes. This is vital for you and for me. You know, when Jesus came and walked on this earth, he made it abundantly clear what God is like. He made it clear what God approves of, what God disapproves of. He made it clear that God is after the heart of a man and a woman. Well, as we fast forward to our day and time, what's happening and what has happened over these many years is that there are people trying to take away our genuine faith in Jesus. There's all sorts of things being said and taught today to try to confuse issues. It's no different than the first century. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know what some members of the church were doing? Members of the body of Christ were telling other members of the body of Christ that Jesus really didn't resurrect from the dead. Yeah, it came from the church. It didn't come from the outside world. It was being taught in the church. And Paul could not believe. How can you say that? And he goes to say in chapter 15, verse 6, he said, after Jesus resurrected from the dead, he appeared at one time to over 500 brethren. And he said that most of them are still alive today. If you want to know if Jesus resurrected from the dead, go ask them. They're eyewitnesses. And Paul is penning that letter. He said, and why don't you come ask me? I saw Jesus resurrected from the dead. You see, everybody's going about things in different ways, and as our faith is being challenged, and as people of God are being taken here and there, are people trying to take you here and there, you better listen to what these apostles wrote. Well, in 1 John, you know what people in the church are doing? They're trying to teach two different things. Number one, there are brethren teaching that Jesus did not come in the flesh. No, it wasn't Jesus Christ. He didn't come in the flesh. And the second thing, he's not the Messiah. This was happening within the church. People getting hold of information, they're starting to spread it to other members of the body of Christ. And so John has to do his same thing as what Paul did to the Corinthians. He's going to say, wait a second. All this teaching that you're hearing going on, there are eyewitnesses. And you need to listen to the eyewitnesses, just like Paul attested, and now what John writes to. And so, you know, it's hard to believe. It's easy to say, the religious world out there, you know, they swirl with all of their ideas and doctrines, and it's easy to point to that. But I'm telling you what, the problems come from within the body of Christ. That's where the problems come from. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, look at what John pens. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. John said, what was? He said, what we heard. We saw with our eyes. We looked at it. And we touched it. And it concerns the Word of God. The Word of God being Jesus. It concerns Him. And what he possessed alone. Now, it's kind of interesting when you go through here. You know, John said, we have firsthand knowledge. We're the ones that witnessed. Oh, we saw him. We heard him. We touched Him. We beheld Him, you know, in all these things. And it concerns the Word alive. When you hear Jesus, and I'll put this out on the side for you. When you hear Jesus being called the Word, that's not the written Word, nor is Jesus the spoken Word. That term logos, that for Word, that term means the complete embodiment and expression. Jesus was the Word. He was the complete embodiment and expression of God Himself. And they said, what He had, what it was from the beginning, He's going to talk about eternal life. That's what John's driving after. We saw the full expression. John writes in his letter in John chapter 1, verse 14, speaking of the Word of Jesus, His full body and expression of God, the Word became flesh. And He dwelt among us, and we beheld Him. They were eyewitnesses. Come back, if you would, to 2 Peter. You're probably going to have to turn just one page. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And what you and I are going to see is that here Peter is. Peter's near the end of his life. He's near the end, you know, death is coming. And Peter, too, is an eyewitness. Just like Paul was an eyewitness. Just like John was an eyewitness. Look at what Peter writes in verse 16 of 2 Peter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Our faith was not placed on someone's hearsay. Our faith was not placed on someone's dream or somebody's fairy tale. It wasn't collected out of some novel or some set of books. He said, we didn't follow tales that were cleverly devised. You know what we did? When we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were eyewitnesses. And here's what we did, verse 17. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance was as this was made to Him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. He's talking about the transfiguration, Matthew 17. Peter, James, and John were with Jesus. And they said, you know what? We heard an utterance from heaven. And the utterance said, this is my Son. We heard it. We're witnesses. This isn't a tale we made up. We saw and we beheld it with our own eyes. We beheld and heard everything with our own ears when we were with Him on that mountain. We heard every word said from God concerning Jesus. Look at verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure. Now let's stop with that statement. Now he brings up the prophetic word. You know what all of those Old Testament prophets were doing? All those Old Testament prophets, were saying, Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is going to appear. The Son of God would walk on the face of this earth. And Peter said, and you know what? We were eyewitnesses. And we heard the utterances. And everything that those Old Testament prophets wrote down and said about the Messiah, we have now that prophetic word made certain, made sure. Verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you would do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Pay attention to the word. that was written by those Old Testament prophets, and that we're writing to you, we are eyewitnesses. And you would do well if you'd pay attention to it. Till you start getting a hold of things where you're not carried away with all these people's teachings. Now, you know what we're talking about here? Everything that we believe in, everything you believe in, has to be based on the reality of eyewitnesses. This isn't made up stuff. And you better pay attention to it. Or you're going to have somebody in the church start taking this. Somebody could start teaching that. And the next thing you know, you're carried away. It happened in the first century among these apostles and these writers. And don't you think that it will not happen today in the 21st century. And Peter was a witness to that. Well, come back if you would to John, to his gospel, chapter 21, the very last chapter. John chapter 21. Here we have in this chapter, Peter and John are the two main figures in the whole chapter as he ends this thing up. And Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. He's about to ascend back to the Father. And Jesus is having to have a talk with Mr. Peter. And he has to show Peter, or tell Peter, I want you to get your mind off of your nonsense of your own personal life. I want you to get your mind off of what everything else and everybody else says and does. And I want you, Peter, to listen to me. This is basically what Jesus is driving at in the chapter here. But I want you to look at verse 20. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple who Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Now, when you read the other gospel accounts, we know who this is. This is John. Okay? That's who he's referring to. And so, you know, here's Peter. He looks over at John. Look at verse 21. So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Now, you know what just happened in the verses previous to this? Verses 15 through 17, Jesus has just told Peter three times, tend to my sheep. He wanted to know three times, do you love me? And then he says, down in verse 19, he tells Peter, follow me. So here's Peter standing there, and he looks over at John, and he sees John standing there, and he says there in verse 21, what about this man? See, Peter's all over the place. Jesus is trying to calm him down. What about John? Look at verse 22. Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Peter, take care of Peter. Why are you always worried about what another person may do or may not do? That's the issue in this whole thing. I want you to follow me, Peter. And John's pinning this down. Now, look at the next statement in verse 23. Therefore, this saying went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Now, isn't that rather ironic? Do you see there in verse 23? The message went out. There was a saying that went out among the brethren. It began in the church. That when Jesus told Peter whether or not I want John to remain or come, what's that to you? That meant Jesus said John would never die. Now, where did you come up with that conclusion? You know what John has to do? John has to pen in his letter to the church that Jesus did not mean that. Even though there's brethren that are reporting it, John is here. He's an eyewitness, and he heard every word that Jesus said. Now, let me give you a quick illustration. How in the world do you think things get twisted in the church? How do you think it happens? How do you think things get distorted in the church? Someone comes up with what they have heard about another, and they start spreading it like it's a fact, like they were there. And the next thing you know, they start telling another member of the body of Christ, here's what's happened. Oh, look at what the... like they were eyewitnesses there. Do you want to stop the nonsense and remain with truth? Go talk to the eyewitness in this deal. Go to the eyewitnesses. Quit talking from one person to another. Well, I know this is what they did. How do you know that? Did you talk to an eyewitness? Brethren, we could stop a lot of stuff in the church if people would just go talk to eyewitnesses. Find out who they are before you go twisting or stating things like you were there. John has to put it right out there. This is what the brethren were reported, and that's not all what Jesus said, nor what he meant. Because why? I'm an eyewitness. How do I know that's right? Because the eyewitness wrote it down. And we need to see that. We'll come back to 1 John. Keep John marked. I'm going to come over there one more time. Come back to 1 John chapter 1. People are teaching and they're speaking here in John's time. Jesus didn't come in the flesh. He's not the Messiah. Verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We have first-hand eyewitness knowledge of what eternal life is. We didn't get it from somebody else. We were eyewitnesses. We have seen, we are testifying, and we proclaim to you eternal life. The life that was with the Father, and that life has now been manifested to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. You want to know if you're on the right track? Go and listen to the eyewitnesses. You want to know if what you believe is true or not? Go talk to the ones who heard and who testify and who wrote it down. That's what we need to see. Well, if you look over at chapter 5 of 1 John real quick, look at chapter 5 and verse 20. John writes at the end of his book, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." You know what we know? Son of God did come, despite what some people in the church are jumping on a bandwagon saying He didn't. Son of God did come. You know what the Son of God did? He gave us understanding. And then we got some people running around out there trying to say, you know, it's about this, it's about that. You know what Jesus did to these apostles? He gave them understanding to what is true. And so John could write, you know what? We're in Jesus. We're in Him. And we are true. Despite what everybody else is saying out there. And there is no fellowship with God. There is no one has eternal life outside and apart from Jesus Christ, the one that we have seen, we testify, and we proclaim. And you're not going to get it any other way. Ask the eyewitnesses. One more thought. John chapter 10. Look at John chapter 10. We're going to begin in verse 27. Jesus, as He talks to the people, listen to what He says. John 10, 27. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Do you want to rest assured you're one of the sheep of Jesus? The sheep that belong to Jesus only listens to His voice and follow His word. And John comes along and says, and we are eyewitnesses. We heard, we beheld, we touched. We are the ones that follow Jesus, and we're writing it so you can know too. Verse 28. And I give eternal life to them, those that know Me, those that follow Me, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hands. You know what the result is of following Jesus and listening to Him alone? He gives eternal life. And Jesus takes a personal responsibility to make absolutely certain they make it. It's His responsibility for you and I to make it to the end. But the question is, who are we following? Who are we listening to? I give eternal life to those who know My voice, who hear My voice, who follow Me. I do that. Verse 29. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. You know what? There is a value of listening only to the Word of God. There is a value only listening to what those apostles taught. Because that's where Jesus and God keeps their people safe. No one can take them. No one can snatch them. Not even the devil has access to them if you will follow the words of the Lord. And that's what He's saying here. And John knows that. And so, you know, here's everybody running around and they're saying Jesus didn't come into flesh. Jesus isn't a Messiah. Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead. We're not going to resurrect from the dead. Hey, look at this new teaching that's coming out here. Look at this new teaching, you know. John said, why are you listening, everybody? Listen to the eyewitnesses. We're the ones that have it. Despite what other people may run around and say and do, coming from within the church. Well, then you want to know? You want to define eternal life? Look over chapter 17 real quick. Look at chapter 17. Look at verse 3. This is eternal life. That they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. You know what eternal life is? Knowing God, knowing Jesus. You want to know the ones who knew Him? The eyewitness accounts. They knew God, they knew Jesus, and they have eternal life. And so, you and I, eternal life is not running around here memorizing some verses. Eternal life is not being a daily Bible reader. I'm not trying to say they're not important. I'm saying that's not eternal life. Just because you can quote verses or you can memorize verses or whatever it may be, eternal life is way beyond that. Eternal life. That's where you're allowing God and you're allowing Jesus to become a greater part in the decisions that you make in your life. You have wants. But you need to place them wants beside what Jesus said, "This is what I want." You need to let Jesus and God have more precedence in your life over what needs to be believed in and what needs to be done. Eternal life is knowing God and knowing His Son, Jesus. So you come back to 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to end it here. These first four verses. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 again. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We didn't keep it to ourselves. We wrote it down. We wrote down what we have seen. We wrote down what we have heard, and we are proclaiming to you. Out of all the teaching from people in the church and wanting to go different directions, John said, we're making a proclamation to you, and that we want you, church, to have fellowship with us, apostles. Because our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're going to have fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ, it's going to come through what we write, because we are the eyewitnesses and we heard Him. We saw eternal life that Jesus expressed. And we want you to have it too. You know, There's too much life experiences, you hear me carefully. There's too much human life experiences that are being expressed as proof that people have fellowship with God. Life experiences don't prove. The proving ground is, do you line up with the teaching of these letters? That's the proving ground. What we've seen and proclaim, we heard it, we're giving it to you too. The only way you're going to share in the life of God, in the life of Jesus, is through listening to these apostles. Nowhere else. And they are eyewitnesses. And someone comes along to rock our boat and they say, you know what? These scriptures have been tainted over the years and they're not true and accurate anymore. That's wrong. There are very accurate translations off of what the apostles taught. Here's one of them. The problem is people don't want to listen to the Word of God anymore. They're wanting life experiences. They're wanting personal testimonies. They're wanting everything. And John said, I'll tell you what. We heard, we saw, we touched. We're making a proclamation to that. You want something else? Then you're free to go get it. In chapter 2 of 1 John, he's going to tell us, they left us. Because they were never of us anyway. They left us. The church, members of the church, left the teaching of the apostles. You're free to go. You're free to go. But if you want to remain firm with the Lord, if you want to share in eternal life, if you want to make it to the end, you pay attention to this. You pay attention to what they wrote. And you're going to make it. And he concludes in verse 4, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Fellowship with God and Jesus and His apostles brings about joy. Joy is a result of fellowship. And fellowship can only be based on what they write. And these things we write. And I stress it this morning. And I want every person here. And if you're a visitor and you say you're looking for a church home, you better get into the book and you better listen to what the apostles wrote. For those who are members of the body of Christ, you better stay with it. And you better examine every belief that you come up with in light of what the apostles wrote, because they were eyewitnesses of that account. They know what eternal life is. They saw. They touched and they proclaim. And it's written for the ages to come, for you and for me. And this is how he starts his book. You're not going to miss it. And neither am I if we'll stick with what they wrote. And you'll always know someone come along and they want to teach something a little different. Oh, that's not right. That doesn't line up with the teaching. That's right. You need to know that. Not my teaching. What they taught. And if you want to stay in the hands of Jesus, you want to stay in the hand of God, so nothing can snatch you away, you listen to His Word and you follow Him and no one else. And that's the message. The life was manifested.